This is writer Kelly Thompson, and you've jumped inside the pull bag, only on GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello all, it is I, TFG and Mike, here inside the pull bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network, and from episode 553 to 561, this is the Skybound section. That's right, all of these episodes that you're going to be hearing, including this clip, in front of every single one of them, is stuff from another comic review with Jesse Early and myself. We've already published all these over on that show for him, and now we are syndicating them here for the pullbag. These are completely unaltered, unedited episodes. So there you go. Make your greatest game into comics and enjoy the show.
Seeing you a groveling slave will provide me with great pleasure.
Groveling before a meatball like you isn't my style, Destro.
You're a paradox, Scott.
Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We got a double shot coming at you today. So we're discussing Scarlet and Destro number one together, just like we do with Duke and Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander. It just makes sense with how they're doing these, and since they're individual characters, like, the way I look at these, because we know specifically these are 5-issue miniseries. That's 5 issues. You can take technically 10 between the two. You can take 15 minutes for the first one, 20 minutes, whatever, and the same amount of time for the second one. After a few other little bit of edits, you have a 45, 50-minute podcast. Bob's your uncle. There you go. We all have fun.
I don't have an uncle named Bob, though.
Don't you know I'm an old man and I use old man references? Thank you very much. Get off my lawn.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, went right over my head there. Mm-hmm. All right. So topic number one, Scarlet number one by Kelly Thompson, Marco Ferrari, Lee Luffridge, and Russ Wooten. Our buddy Russ, man, he's just around here.
Yes. Well, he's the litter. He's the litter for the whole
everything,
company.
It seems.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, you know.
Does he actually do like the lettering for like literally everything?
As long as his name's on it, I assume so.
Well, right. I mean, if his name's on it, but do you know, like, I mean, you said for the entire company. Is that true?
Well, I'm saying like, as far as like the entire company, meaning like all of the, like any comic that his name is on, I'm sure that the Scarlet lettering for the Scarlet title on the front page of Scarlet number one and on the inside page, I'm sure that's his lettering. Like, who else would credit somebody else if he didn't do the work?
Right, but don't they put out other comics than just the Energon universe?
Yeah, they do The Walking Dead, I think. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's an imprint of Image, and Image itself does a whole bunch of other comics. I'm saying he's the letterer for the Energon universe titles.
Okay. All right. Well, that's better then.
Specifically,
well, that
too.
I knew, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. I know.
I mean, you said
I
the entire company.
That.
So,
well, I mean, yeah. I'm saying, like, for all the stuff that we're doing with it, if somebody else is the letterer, he must have been sick that week.
Sure, maybe. All right, so quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. Again, we're covering Scarlet number one here first. A miniseries premiere, the next chapter of Codename G.I. Joe begins here. Now, before I dive into that, can we just focus on that for a second? The next chapter of Codename G.I. Joe. Do you think that's what the ongoing series is going to be called? Because that's like, they've called that out explicitly in like, the Free Comic Book Day issue as well.
I would like to think they would just name it G.I. Joe, plain, simple, done. Because that way it would distinguish itself from, and plus they're going to have the, like, well, not necessarily on the top of the Scarlet, but on the inside of the Scarlet, like, it has the Energon Universe logo above the Confidential Scarlet thing. So I assume that's how they're going to again, I'm assuming here, so I'm making an ass of myself. But it's one of those things where I assume naming it just G.I. Joe for the Energon Universe would be fine, because you have over here 300 and something issues of Larry Hama's stuff, which is G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, and that's a whole separate thing. I don't necessarily think they need to do a super long title. It could be codenamed G.I. Joe. It could just be G.I. Joe. It could be G.I. Joe Extreme. I don't know. Sigma 6, Resolute. Could be something.
None of those, please. None of those.
Hey, Resolute wasn't bad. Resolute was all right. So anyway, I don't know. I'm just going to, until I see an actual cover title preview thing that says, hey, this is the G.I. Joe Energon Universe comic, I'm just going to assume it's going to be called G.I. Joe. I think in the context of the comic, they are calling it codenamed G.I. Joe because of the fact of that it hasn't actively started yet. They're still in the works of doing all the stuff.
I don't know. Maybe we should take bets going into Comic-Con and see.
Oh, God, no.
Loser has to read whatever the winner selects as a issue for a comic. All right. Well, anyway, so Shayna Scarlett O'Hara is about to take on the most dangerous Black Ops mission of her career, infiltrating the mysterious rising power in Japan known as Clan Arashikage. Yeah. Known as Clan Arashikage. Her one lead is her former partner, Jinx, turned Arashikage enforcer. I like how they put that right next to each other. Double, mm-hmm. double Arashikage. Mm-hmm. Now Scarlett must use her very particular set of skills to survive undercover and discover a shocking weapon that could change the balance of power on Earth. You think that's the Energon?
It has to be. I mean, come on. Duh.
I mean, we've already discovered it, though, right? Everyone seems to have their hands in it. So.
Yes, it's already been discovered, but... Now we're trying to figure out who has it and who should and should not have it.
All right, folks, I'm going to mess up Arashikage about 8 million times here, so bear with me. So my quick rundown. We open with Scarlett infiltrating a private home a la Jeffrey Epstein on an island of Monaco.
Are there any tangerines down there?
I don't know about that, but there's definitely illegal activity going on. I can tell you that. Her mission, gather evidence to confirm buyers of female hostages. Things quickly go south when her former partner Jinx makes an appearance at the party along with her sword-wielding accomplices. Fighting breaks out and Scarlett engages the attackers as Jinx makes her way with a hostage to a waiting helicopter and escapes. Back in Washington, D.C., Scarlett gets chewed out by her superior and heads for home when she notices that someone has broken in. After sneaking around to the back of the house, she sees a man sitting down inside holding the confidential folder. He introduces himself as Stalker, who, you know, we were introduced to back in Duke. And is interested in knowing more about her report to DC. Scarlett goes into her backstory with Jinx, saying that she is like a sister to her. Stalker offers her the chance to infiltrate Clan Arashikage to get back to Jinx. Scarlett accepts and is taken deep into the mountains by Harlan Moore, aka Snowjob, to seek out the clan. She's quickly tracked and attacked by several clan ninjas, all of whom she quickly disposes of. Bloody fashion, I will say. We close with Scarlett at the gates of the clan temple, offering herself to the clan master, which I know sounds nasty, but hey, I just referenced Jeffrey Epstein, so realizing he's not taking the bait, Scarlett thinks she might be in trouble, but is knocked unconscious by Storm Shadow before having a chance to react. Mm-hmm. So your thoughts and review of Scarlett number one.
So first of all, I need to say Kelly Thompson is amazing. She is a great writer. She has written for IDW. She's written for Marvel. She's written a bunch of stuff. She wrote a Black Widow series that I need to get back into, that I actually need to continue. I need to start it, actually. But a few times in here, when I saw Scarlet, especially when I see Scarlet in the white, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Is that Black Widow? Or oh, that's Scarlet. Okay. So I personally, through two different interviews, have spent over 3 hours with Kelly Thompson from 2015 up until 2021. We did, like I said, we did her Gem interview back in 2015 when she was writing for Gem for IDW. And then in 2021, she did a Kate Bishop Hawkeye
story for Marvel, a series for Marvel. So my friend Allison and I at the time, we had interviewed Kelly way back in 2021. And she's a great writer. I love, like, when I saw that it was going to be her writing this, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And I can't wait to read this story. As far as review of this, as always, the art is amazing. Marco Ferrari is the artist and Lee Lockridge is the colorist. I love how these, again, what is so great about the Energon universe is every title, the colors just work well. From the opening to where she's, you know, doing the whole, you know, water to land thing, and she's doing the change from the wetsuit to the dress and all that, and then we get into the party and we get all those colors and the lines and the way that she moves, man. She jumps off that balcony or the banister, the railing, the stairs there. Oh, it is just so good. And this is the type of comic that people that like suspense comics, this is the type of book you should be reading, because at the end of this, I was like, please feed issue two into my brain right now, please. Like, can I have it now? I don't want to wait. I want it now. And before we even go any further, the only thing I'm going to say is thank you, Russ. And thank you to everybody else in the G.I. Joe team for the letters page being black and white.
Well, to be fair, there is no letters page in this one.
True. Okay, well, but I'm saying, like, hopefully they keep up with this coloring, with this introduction that they did from Kelly, the write-up here at the end of the book. I'm hoping they stick with this in issues 2, 3, 4, and 5, as far as just plain black and white. You don't need any other colors for the letters and the stuff.
Yeah, I think that looks – I'm trying to remember. I've got it. I mean, I've got the issue right here. I guess I can pull mm-hmm. it up. I think that looks – let me scroll to the end here really quick. Mm-hmm. I want to say that looks very much like G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero.
Yeah.
How it's laid out.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing like with the opening page and how they're doing – all of the G.I. Joe titles are doing this, the creative page where it tells you who are in the confidential – like, that's awesome. That's cool. That looks like either a bulletin – or a newspaper, or obviously a confidential, not a newspaper, a confidential file folder type thing. I'm loving that. That is so cool. And everything else in between that and the opening letter from Kelly at the end, I can't wait to read more of this story. I am so in on this one.
Yeah, I think, so I didn't know anything about Kelly Thompson here. Cause again, right. Mm-hmm. I'm relatively new into reading comics, I would say.
Right.
Hasn't quite been a year yet.
Right.
Yeah, regular basis. Yeah. So I didn't know anything about her or her writing. And when I finished reading this for the first time, I believe I told you, maybe we talked about it in the last episode. I don't remember. But I at the very least, I told you, like, I actually left a written review of this on Amazon. Yeah. Like, I gave it 5-star. The writing is absolutely fantastic. I was worried because as I was looking through this, because typically what I'll do is I'll sit down and I'll just kind of thumb through it just a little bit, mm-hmm. like if I want to kind of spoil myself, just in terms of the artwork. But then I'll go back and I'll obviously read it. And I was a little concerned about the amount of speech bubbles that were in here. And there are several pages like where she's talking with Stalker and it's like going back and forth, but it's very easy to follow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information there and it's not boring. It doesn't dull the story down or like drag the story down. It's just very interesting read from start to finish and very impressed with the writing overall. Yeah. Like you said, the artwork is great. The colors, they're just on point with, you know, depending on what scene that we're in, mm-hmm. the colors are just completely on point with how they should look. So being a first issue, this has got me completely hooked. Unlike what I had with Duke and Cobra Commander.
I think the other thing is that with Duke and Cobra Commander, even though you may not know, but the comic community at large knows Joshua Williamson and all that and everything else. I think it's because Duke and Cobra Commander are so in the forefront of the G.I. Joe franchise, obviously, as they should be. And we didn't know what we were going to get until the writer, like until I saw an interview with Williamson where he said, yeah, the Cobra Commander book is essentially a full-on horror book with G.I. Joe characters. I was like, okay, all right, well, I'm not that much into horror, but it's G.I. Joe, it's Cobra Commander, we're doing this, I'll whatever. But with Scarlet, man, it's like I know her from the episode she was in the original cartoon, in the Sunbow cartoon specifically, not the Deke one. So I knew her from that, but I'm like, hey, this is a fresh new start for me. So let's just go with it and see what happens. I don't mind that there are so many speech bubbles in this first issue because you need explanations. You need to, like, she's in the background of this whole scene and talking to Control and talking to this and talking to that and doing this reconnaissance stuff. Meanwhile, everything else at this party is going on. So you need those speech bubbles, I think, to figure out the story thus far. And honestly, all comics should be a full-on mix of writing and art. Sometimes there is more art in some issues, and sometimes there is more writing in some issues, and that's okay, because it's still, at the end of the day, a balance between the two.
Yeah, like, for example, on, I guess, location 16, I don't know if that translates to page 16, but
probably.
she's talking to Stalker, and at the bottom of that page, right, there's five speech bubbles, but it's like a back-and-forth conversation. It's very mm-hmm. easy to follow, and I just like the way that, I guess... Well, I guess, I don't know who does the speech bubbles. Is that the artist? Is that Russ? Is Russ just putting in text? I don't know.
I assume potentially it's the artist doing the speech bubble, maybe Russ doing the letter. Again, I don't know. One of these days, I think I'm going to have to start bugging him on Twitter.
You need to get Russ on a podcast. Oh,
so funny thing. When Scarlet number one came out, when we first, like the day we were going to read it, after I read the issue, the first thing I did was send Kelly an email and saying, hey, I want to catch up and I would love to have you on this podcast that I'm co-hosting with that this guy's doing called Another Comic Review. And she emailed me back and she said, my schedule is currently overbooked. I said, okay, fine. The invitation's always open. Anytime you want to come on. So, you know, and who knows, maybe we could get Russ. I don't see why we couldn't.
Well, I mean, at this rate, though, he's literally doing everything for the company, he told me, so who knows?
Funny guy. You know what I mean, damn it. Location. That is a lot of speech bubbles between the two of them, but it works very well.
Yeah, so the reason I called that out explicitly was because I like whoever's doing the layout of it, mm-hmm. it works really well in this comic. I mean, there's numerous pages where there's back and forth conversations between multiple characters, and just the way that the speech bubbles are laid out, very easy to follow. Mm-hmm. And I just like the again, whoever's doing it, I like the way they laid it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yep.
The whole point of comics is you should be able to, number one, enjoy the art for what it is, and what you like is what you like. And if there's some things you want to nitpick, fine, but there's not a lot of in here with the art that I want to nitpick at all. And then number two, you need to be able to read the story, because this is not your standard novel where you're reading just a wall of text and you have to imagine the things yourself. Like,
right.
This isn't us reading the Hardy Boys from the however the hell long ago. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, it's that type of thing. Like, yes, novels and things like that have their place. But with comics, as I said earlier, it needs to be a full mix. And you are absolutely right. The speech bubbles do work. There have only been, in my 11 and a half years of doing the pull bag, there have only been a handful of comics where I could not read, like, I could probably, like, maybe 20 different titles. And I'm talking titles, not issues. Like,
right.
There's a, in the early New 52 days, like, most of the Batman and Superman and stuff like that, sometimes they'll do, like, this, like, they'll do a, I'm trying to see if they have it in here. They don't. Normally they would do, like, location, blah, 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 blah. Or actually, no, it's on the first page, even though I think, is it she that says it? Or yeah, so basically, the bottom of the first page, when her head comes up out of the water, and it says Monaco, okay? Normally, like, and again, I'm comparing Skybound to DC, whatever, they're apples, oranges, whatever. Normally, if this was a DC book, the Monaco would not be where she's popping up out of the water. It would be up at the top left and in some weird blue background speech bubble with yellow text. And I can show you specific examples of DC Comics doing this. And I know this is not DC. I'm just saying, as far as you talking about the lettering and the speech bubbles and all that, this is excellent. This is the way to go. This is, again, balance. You need balance in comics. And yeah, absolutely. This is fun.
Now I want to know, does Russ put in Monaco? Or again,
it's a lettering thing. I'm going to beat you over.
Speaking of Hardy Boys, tune in for the next episode where we review Hardy Boys number one.
Dead Target, where Joe Hardy's girlfriend, Iola Morton, gets killed. Dude, trust me, I was a Hardy Boys fiend in the 80s as a child.
All right, well, we need a podcast on that next.
we'll work on it. Coming next year to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. I think of everything we've seen in the Energon universe so far, outside of Transformers number one, I think this is my favorite debut issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to issue two, similar to what you were saying. So kind of going back to that, I think going into Duke and Cobra Commander, the main reasons I was not a fan of them in the end, other than, again, I don't think the end of Cobra Commander lived up to or was earned based on everything that came before in the preceding four issues. I think I came to those with my own baggage and preconceived notions of what those characters are and what they should be. And I think with that in mind, I don't know that I gave it a full, fair chance in reading it. I mean, even I've gone back and read a couple of the issues of both Duke and Cobra Commander, and they're still not great, in my opinion. I don't think the writing is all that great. But again, I came into those with preconceived notions of who those characters should be. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Scarlet, I don't know much about Scarlet. Again, I watched very few episodes of the 80s G.I. Joe cartoon, so I don't know much about her. So I'm not really coming into this series with any preconceived notions of who this character is or what she is. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing where this series goes.
Absolutely.
Anything else on Scarlet?
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. That is what I gave it. 5 out of 5 on Amazon. You can go out to Amazon, verify that. My review is there. Mike has seen it.
Yep, I've seen it.
All right, so Destro?
Yeah, Destro.
All right.
So I'm going to say this right now. I don't know how Destro is going to end up in issues 2, 3, 4, and 5, but I think I like the whole of Cobra Commander more than I did Destro number one.
Yeah, we can get into this. So.
Yeah.
All right, quick. So from Destro number one, from Dan Waters, Andrea Bresson? Mm-hmm. Andrea Bresson? Adriano Lucas?
Andre, I believe.
Andre? Yeah. Andre Bresson? Yeah. Andre Bresson.
I don't know.
Adriano Lucas and Russ. Everyone knows Russ at this point. Quick synopsis from ImageComics.com. Miniseries premiere, the next chapter of the Cobra threat begins. James McCullen Destro the 24th is the man behind Mars Industries, the undisputed leader in providing high-tech weapons to world powers for the right price. But the emergence of Energon has changed everything. As Destro's ambitions grow, the Crimson Twins, Tomax and Zamet, Paoli, emerge to destroy their competition, and Cobra Commander realizes his current ally could be his future greatest enemy. Is that how you pronounce their last name, Paoli?
I assume so, because it reminds me of Paoli Peaks here in Indiana, which is a ski lodge. So
okay, and it's Zamet, right?
Yeah, Tomax and Zamet.
Tomax and Zamet. Okay, all right. And here's my quick rundown. So I'll say this right up front: I had a hard time coming up with the synopsis, so bear with me. A lot goes on in this issue, and it's very hard to kind of summarize everything. So here we go. We open in the Republic of Darklonia, where protesters are storming the gates of the Prime Minister's residence. The Prime Minister orders some of the protesters be shot to quell the uprising, but when the gates are open, the hired guns are met by a battle android trooper, with lots more dropping in from the sky. Led by Destro, the troopers storm the palace to confront the Prime Minister, who, after a short exchange, shoots himself in the head. We cut to a conversation between Cobra Commander and Destro, with Cobra Commander expressing his displeasure about drawing attention while Cobra is still amassing its army. Pissed at the conversation, Destro ends it by stating he is not Cobra Commander's subordinate. We cut to the Scottish Highlands, home of Clan Destro, where we see Destro climbing through the snowy mountains to seek the wisdom of his ancestors and apparently talk to these statues. 3 weeks later in Darklonia, Destro is hosting an illegal arms fair where he downplays and denies the existence of his robotic soldiers. Mercer does a sweep of all the vendors to see if anyone else has access to Energon, but finds none. We cut to Sierra Gordo, South America, where Zamet and Tomax, the head of Extensive Enterprises, are visiting one of their clients, a small military camp. Their Crimson Guards take out the camp and appear to be working for someone they refer to as General. We close back in Darklonia, where combat drones drop bombs on Destro's arms fair. Not knowing who is doing this, Destro declares that he is now at war. Thoughts and review.
First of all, Dan Waters, I had never heard of his name, and I'm on his Twitter account because that's the easiest thing to find autobiographical things. Writes the comics, Frederick Wortham warned you about the Six Fingers, Destro, Doctor Who, Loki, Sword of Azrael, Homesick Pilots, Lucifer, and more. So I've never heard of this writer. First for me.
He's apparently doing Creature from the Black Lagoon that we've seen advertised in the John Universe comics.
Okay. And I wish I had written, I wish I had read his letter. I really paid more attention this time around to the first issue letters, because I didn't realize the letter originally was obviously from Kelly and Scarlet, and it's from Dan here in the back of Destro. But before all of that, Destro number one, oh God, shoot me now. Don't wait till you get home. Just shoot me now, in the words of Daffy Duck.
Maybe the Prime Minister could shoot you, but he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. So, I mean, it does a good job of introducing the main characters of the rest of kind of Cobra. We have the Bat Troopers. We have Destro and his Mars Industries. I didn't realize Cobra Commander was going to show up, so that's kind of nice seeing Cobra Commander in this after what we've already discussed with his own series. Yeah, Destro standing in front of what I can only say are the great spirits of evil from Thundercats, where Mumm-Ra used to... No, I'm not kidding! Look at them! There are four statues, and he's standing in front of them talking to them. And if you... Mumm-Ra, ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumm-Ra, the ever-living! Like, I remember that like it was 1985 and I was 5 years old all over again. So seeing these statues, that was the first thing I thought of. Should we address the location 16, the 18 issue here?
Yeah, we can get to that in a second.
Okay. Overall, I am not looking forward to issue 2 for this. I'm just not. I was not. Like, when I reached the end of this, I was like, okay, guess I'll wait till next month. But yeah, the to be continued, the battle here, the running on, and no, this is not. The only thing I will praise from this comic is same thing I praise all the time, because I don't have an issue with it, is the art. The art's amazing. The backgrounds, the colors, the lines and the drawings, the pencils for the characters. The characters all look great. Cobra Commander, oh my God. Like, the panel where he says, I am displeased, Destro. He doesn't say Destro, but it's the where it just shows his face. That's awesome. I love that. But the writing,
yeah. To me, I'm thinking I'm right there in the same boat with you. Same page, same boat,
mm-hmm.
Same thing. I feel like the story of this. The reason I had right, I as I was going through my quick rundown, I opened with bear with me, because it was hard to summarize this. And I think it's because this series, or this particular issue, is literally all over the board. And we jump from, you know, from location to location to location. And it's like, I'm not really following what's going on. I had a hard time understanding until I reread it. So at the very beginning here, right, the protesters are storming the gates.
Right.
And when they open the gates, right, and the guys are coming out with the guns to shoot them,
mm-hmm.
right? We've got that robotic. What's
the battle android?
Yeah, the android. Yeah. Yeah. So he's standing there, and then he takes some of them out, and then he turns around and he shoots the people who are storming the gates. And I didn't pick up on that at first because I thought maybe like, oh, the robot guy, like the android is coming out with the guys with the guns and is killing the protesters. But I'm like, oh, that's not it. because then Destro was leading them in to see the prime minister. Mm-hmm. So like, I was confused as to what the hell was going on. And then it wasn't until after he was talking to Destro was talking to Cobra Commander where I realized they were talking about the androids. And that at the moment, they just shoot anyone with a face.
Yes. So.
So it says the bats needed testing in the field, Cobra Commander. Their IFF programming remains volatile at best. And Cobra Commander asks, so what does that mean? And then Destro goes on to say, it means they shoot anything with a face in that face. So they were, that's why the androids had turned around, right? And were killing the protesters. So like the first read through, I didn't get that. I'm like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. After rereading, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now. But just jumping around from place to place, the Scottish Highlands, where Destro is going to talk to these statues. I'm like, I don't know what the hell the statues are. He's talking to nobody. There's nobody there. It's like, it doesn't say what this place is other than he refers to Clan Destro. So it's like, is it the home of Clan Destro? That's what I called it in the rundown, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with that from G.I. Joe, like the cartoon. Again, watched very little of that, but is that like a thing? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. And then, like I said, it's just all over the board. I don't know. I don't know where this series goes from here.
Yeah, it's all over the board, and I don't know why he didn't join us tonight, but we have incoming messages and commentary from Ryan. His biggest issue was the ideas surrounding its attempts at being political are kind of a 13-year-old's idea of what politics is.
Okay.
That's what he said in the chat to us. So, I don't know. I do not like this writing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this writer, but I don't think he's great.
I'm willing to give him a chance, but this first issue does not have me like at
I was just gonna say with as much as what was packed in Scarlet number one, and with all of the word bubbles in there, it was very easy to follow the entire story from start to finish of that particular issue. With this, I'm having a hell of a time doing so.
Yeah, you have. Oh, so again, I think what they're trying to do here is, number one, they're trying to bring Cobra Commander over into Destro because Cobra Commander Destro, hello, they're obviously whatever. And then you're introducing Tomax and Zaymot, and it goes between Destro, Cobra Commander, them, and whatever other things with the villagers. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's jam-packed with too many quote-unquote main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who I should be focusing on, right? It's called Destro, but I don't feel like this issue focuses on Destro. I feel like it's trying to introduce us to all these secondary and tertiary characters.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll be playing some sort of part in G.I. Joe once that series happens.
Yeah, I mean, they do introduce him. They introduce him as the head of Mars Industries. They tell you his name. They have him go to Mumra's tomb with the ancient spirits of evil and all of that in the Scottish hills of Normandy or whatever. But
to be fair, we were introduced to Destro as the head of Mars Industries in several issues of the other miniseries.
But I think it's they kind of have to cover their asses on this because Destro number one came out June of 2023. Cobra Commander has been running since June of 2024. Cobra Commander has been running since December of 2023 for five issues. So maybe the people like me kind of stopped with Cobra Commander and were like, okay, well, whatever happens with Cobra next, we'll see. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm going to send them. Don't worry about that.
I just did not want to, as I started reading this, I'm just like, I don't like where the story's going. It seems like it's more like a political type.
Yeah.
I don't know, storyline that I'm not interested in reading anything about. A question I did have for you, again, I think you're more familiar with G.I. Joe than I am.
A little bit, not much, but maybe.
So at the end there, when Destro is getting, right when they're getting bombed by those drones,
mm-hmm.
you see somebody or something, I presume they're robotic maybe, flying those drones. I guess, do you know what those things are? Are they people? Are they robots? Do you know where they come from? So it's like location 29 of 39.
Mm-hmm.
At the very first panel there.
Okay, well.
They look more like Friends of Men at Arms from He-Man, but.
If only Skybound could get a master's license for comics, but I think that's still under DC. Let me zoom in. Yeah, that is somebody. I don't know who the hell it is, but there's somebody flying that thing.
So yeah, I don't know what they are, but I was curious if you knew what they were at all.
You're kind of right. They kind of look like what the hell's the name of the stupid flying thing? The Wind Raider. God, that took me too goddamn long. The Wind Raider from Masters. The flying things kind of look like that. I don't know who. Like, so we got the formation coming up of G.I. Joe between Duke, Scarlet, all of that. We've got Cobra coming up with Cobra and everything else and all this and all that. And now it's like, whose side are these guys on? Because they're firing on Destro, and Destro is a part of Cobra. I don't know. I don't like this. I will be trying issue two, but this might be a series where I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we need to finish this. If it gets worse than this, like, I want explanations. I want to know what the hell. Like, I'm just getting angry now because Scarlet was so good. Scarlet was so amazing. God, dude, maybe we should have started with the bad comic first. He's the good one because holy crap.
Yeah, I think the best part of this issue for me were, again, despite the fact that I hated the Cobra Commander miniseries, were the pages that Cobra Commander were on.
Whereas in this comic, I actually liked the pages that Cobra Commander was on.
I mean, actually, right, he's on two pages here, and the way the character is presented here feels like the character that I know from the TV show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And less so like the whatever we got in the Cobra Commander miniseries.
I don't know, dude. And I'm just like, I'm at a loss because, again, like we've already said so far, this issue is all over the place and it doesn't have, like, if it started with Cobra, like, you can start by introducing Destro as whatever, as the character that he is and all that, and give us a little bit of backstory. Fine, sure, great. Go into the Cobra Commander bits, have Cobra Commander send him out on some sort of mission, and then maybe that's why these other, like, again, I don't freaking know. And literally, not kidding, between the time this issue released and the time of me saying this right now to you fine people who are listening at some point in the future, I've read this comic 7 different times to make sure I understood every bit of it. And I understood practically 5.75% of this issue. I'm not kidding. Dude, it's a bad first issue. Like,
if you're supposed to come out of the gates with, like, by putting your best foot forward, this is not it. They did a poor job.
Yeah. And again, it's the writing. That's what the poor job is. It's not the art. It's not the colors. It's not the letters. It's not any of that. It's the story. It's the beginning part. If you have a bad beginning part of the story, are people really going to want to stick around to see what the middle and the end is? No, probably not. Hey, look, I'll say this, and I don't think I've said this to your audience before, our new audience here before, but a couple of years ago when DC was doing, this was a number of years, 5-6 years ago now, DC was doing Black Label stories. So it was full-on adult stories. It was this, it was that, it was whatever. It was like Batman. I just can't even. So they did one called Superman year one or whatever, and it was a Frank Miller book. And everybody, even if you've never, even if you're only a year into your comics enjoyment or whatever you want to call it, fandom, whatever, doesn't matter. Everybody has heard the name Frank Miller at some point or another. Dark Knight Returns, Dark Knight Strikes Again, all this stuff, whatever. So we know Frank's writing style. We know his story style. I went into Superman Year One. It's in these DC Black Label things were three issues, three oversized issues. So instead of 20 pages or 40 pages, or instead of a 40 page book with 28 pages, you had like a 60 page book with 40 story pages or whatever the hell it is. So I went into this thinking, okay, you're going to tell Superman's origin, obviously, starts at Krypton, goes to Earth, goes to the farm, goes to Metropolis, blah, 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 blah. My buddy Joe Reed and I covered the first two issues. Because, again, how comics works is you see the solicits first to see if you're going to want to read the other ones. I saw the solicit to the third issue. I sent it to Joe. I said two words to him. I said, I'm out, period. Because in the third issue of the Superman origin story, what does Frank Miller do? He Frank Millers it up and has Batman and Wonder Woman come in. And I'm like, that's not what I'm here for. Like, you can end your series. Like, if you want to end your series on that, like the final part of the story is Superman meets up with Batman and Wonder Woman and like you leave it on a cliffhanger or something because it's only three issues anyway. Fine. But I was like, dude, I can't. And we have never finished it up until right now today. And I'd sent Joe a message the other day. I'm like, I guess at some point, I guess we should really finish that stupid story. But that's the reason why I'm saying all of this stuff, listeners, is because that's the same way I feel about this issue. I don't want to read number two after this. I'm going to just because, you know,
I want to get to the next episode.
No. It's fine. I mean, I've read worse, but you know, the point is like at like, again,
wipe my ass the better, but
well, like I said, maybe we should have started with the bad book first and ended on the good book.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where we weren't sure. I mean, yeah, we love Scarlet, but like we were not sure about Destro. And now it's like we know, and it's like, oh, God. It's just, I don't know. I just need a more linear, cleaner, sleeker side of the story. Right now, at this point, I want answers. I want you to take 3 to 7 pages of the second issue and explain the first issue to me.
Yeah, I'd rather get more of the backstory of Destro than
anything else. Yes.
Than anything else, yeah.
I agree with that. Yes.
But I don't think going forward that's what we're going to get. So.
No, probably not. I mean, does he show up in Rise of? I haven't seen the other one. I haven't seen the second G.I. Joe movie, Retaliation, so I don't know. I think it's in Rise of Cobra where we see his origin of how he got it. Like, how does the Skybound version of Destro get his face melted and painted silver? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see his face melt off.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All we know is Cobra Commander has three eyes.
That's right.
So, all right. So, the other topic here.
Yes.
So as I was reading this, I came across something that stood out to me or jumped out to me that I floated by you just to see if you caught it or what your thoughts were on it. So on location 18, him and I are both reading the digital version here. So
yeah, we're on Comixology. So folks, if you're using the digital version on, I say Comixology, Kindle Comics, but it really, that's a whole, yes, location 18, mm-hmm, 17, yeah. 18, whatever it is.
So there's this woman whose name is Miss Carlton Ritz, right? Mm-hmm. So she's apparently the head of, she's the CEO, I guess. CEO of
the Ritz-Carlton. That's an Instagram reel right there.
I mean, that's probably where you got the name from, to be honest with you. Unless she's in like G.I. Joe lore that I'm unaware of, but so she's the CIO. She is the CEO and has a male assistant. And there's a panel on here. I'm going to read it. She says, Brandon, that's the name of the assistant. Mm-hmm. Which one of us is the CEO and which one of us is the executive assistant? Brought along because looking at his fabulous butt cheeks, or sorry, his fabulous butt cheers me up when I get bored. And he goes, I only meant, and then that's kind of, it just kind of dies from there. So as, again, as I was reading this, it jumped out to me because, again, it's 2024. I'm not a prude, but it seems like this to me would be classified as sexual harassment. And it just seems like odd in 2024 that it would be thrown into the comic just so nonchalantly. Mm. Now, I was asking around, right? I asked you what your thoughts were of it. I asked Ryan, right? We just got his feedback here on what he thought. Mm-hmm. He said, when I saw what you guys said, I thought we were looking at any comic Martin Miller has written when not working for Marvel sort of situation. I don't know what that means, what that reference
is. It's a whole thing. But basically Ryan's thing is it's meant as a look at what a jerk she is sort of thing rather than being serious.
Yeah. So the reason I asked the question, so I also asked this question online on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you're okay with like the dreadnoughts like dragging people behind their car or taking them out back behind their shed and like mutilating them. But you're not okay with this. I'm like, I seem to recall saying that was also violent. And then I wasn't right. I don't condone the violence, but this jumped out to me because I had a similar situation, not a superior, mm-hmm. but this happened to me at work. I learned about it after the fact, right? It wasn't said to my face, but I learned about it after the fact that there were two people who I didn't directly work with, but were in my, one person was in my office. Another person was part of the office, but it, like at a different location that I worked at, than what I worked at, I should say. And those two were like communicating back and forth about me. And, I didn't learn about that until after the fact. And it made me feel like really icky.
Yeah.
And I never confronted them about it because, again, it was like secondhand knowledge. And after learning about it, the person who told me, I know wasn't lying.
Oh, boy.
So so this thing, it jumped out to me only because I've had a somewhat similar experience, not the same exact experience, because, again, it wasn't a superior who said it to me. They didn't even say it to me directly. Right. But, again, it happened to me. And after I learned about it, I felt icky and I just kind of wanted to stay away from those people.
Yeah.
Again, in my situation, it wasn't something I could really report because I didn't have any evidence to back it up. Mm-hmm. Again, it wasn't said to me directly. But after reading this, it just kind of jumped out to me. Like I'm like, it's 2024. It seems like this shouldn't be a thing in the comics. Yes, to Ryan's point, this is typically something that would happen to a female character within the comic, and they just kind of turn the tables here. But I don't think it's right to happen to you either male or female characters in the comic.
No, and I agree with that.
So yeah, I just wanted to call that out explicitly. I don't think that should have been in there. They could have just dropped that panel altogether or changed the.
They could have changed the word again. It's the writing. The writing right. is the problem with this issue. End of story.
Right. So
the art gets a 5. The writing gets a 0. I'm yeah. sorry. It gets for me. Look, I'm not gonna. I've been doing this for. I'm sorry for repeating myself, but like. Have I read worse comics? Yes. But at the same time, like we've already said so far in this episode, this is your first issue. This is your chance to introduce the Skybound version of Destro and whomever else is going to be with him on his team or on this part of Cobra, whatever. And this is the story you start us with? What? And like Ryan said, it's like, oh, hey, look, this is what a 13-year-old thinks of as politics. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not great, and I'm not a fan.
Mm-mm. Me either.
So I looked up this character here while you were just talking.
Yes.
And this says that she appears in Transformers Season 2, Episode 38, The Girl Who Loved Powerglide.
Oh, God, no, I... I know. I
Historia don't even Carlton Ritz.
Oh, no way! Well, that makes a hell of a lot more sense now. Actually, they didn't say her first name intentionally. Because if they had said Historia, all of us Transformers fans would have freaking known. I did not realize Carlton Ritz was her last... Oh, man. God damn it, you guys. Honestly, seriously, at this point, getting Historia into the Energon universe... That's a stroke of genius. I don't like the whole, you know, 13-year-old whatever politics and this whole, you know, she's a jerk thing. But, oh, mother, How did I not see that?
I don't know, but I just Googled The Girl Who Loved Power Glide, which I'm familiar with the episode, but I just want to see a picture of her, and it's pretty cool.
We got red hair in that, I think. Oh, my God.
That's about the same color. It's like a brown color.
Brownish. Yeah, something. Brownish, yeah. Reddish, whatever.
I'll share the image with you here. There she is in all her G1 Transformers glory.
Yeah, so as you were sharing the photo, I'm like, oh, mother. I think it's a genius move that they got that character into the Energon universe. I'm just such a dumbass for not realizing who it actually was. Because again, like I said, and if people have heard this already, sorry, but I don't remember her last name. I remember Astoria. I don't remember Miss Carlton Ritz.
Right.
So that makes all kind. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Now I kind of want to know what the hell happens in issue two. Now that I know that that's her. Like at this point, I'm following this comic to see what happens to Astoria and to see if Power Glide actually shows up. I don't think he will.
But. No.
I think I broke my own brain.
Okay.
I'm not. I mean, granted, I was born with brain damage anyway, but like, how the.
All right. So, issue two previews. We do have those. Do you want to cover those or do you want me to cover those?
I'll cover those really quickly. So, same artist, writer, colorist for Destro. Story, the first issue two, the world is changing and Destro means to come out on top. But with Cobra Commander breathing down his neck and mercenaries Zaymot and Telmax seeking to dethrone him as the world's premier weapons manufacturer, he'll have to survive the future in order to build it. Oh, Lord. The covers here that they show off, I absolutely love. I think it's the second cover. It's the cover B by Riley Rossmo. I think that's a really cool cover with Destro and them in there. I'm liking the main cover by Bresson, but it's all right. And then we have another action card cover at the bottom there for that.
Without his metal face.
Yes, without his metal face. All right, Scarlet number two. Oh, man. So this is more of a preview than anything else that I have here. Scarlet number two hits comic book shops on July 3rd, 2024, on the same day a second printing of Scarlet number one will return to shops as fan demand prompted an immediate sellout the same day it originally released. Now, I want to see information about Destro on that, because I don't think that happened with Destro. In order to find her missing friend Jinx, Scarlet goes undercover deep into the belly of Clan Arashikage to discover the truth, but the man known as Storm Shadow might have other ideas. .. I love the preview. The preview is really cool. I love the covers, and I think that I love when comics always do variant covers, because sometimes you're not a big fan of the main cover, but honestly, with this the second issue, the main cover is my favorite. That looks so cool. Her with the sword there.
Is it glowing green because of the Energon?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, we've got pink Energon and purple Energon, and in some universes red Energon. Why not green? It's like kryptonite all over again.
Oh, Superman crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, maybe they're in the mountains, right? Maybe it's the Fortress of Solitude is there.
Maybe. Okay. Never know.
Yeah, so looking forward to issue two of at least Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
At least Scarlet. So, plugs. What do you got for plugs?
As of this recording, geekcastradio.com we're still going under construction. We're still doing our 15-year redux and redo and everything else. But you can still go out to geekcastradio.com. You can still check out all things Transformers, Altered Geek, The Pullback, Studio 2009. Toycast, where in most episodes I'm asking people 42 questions about toy collecting, which is usually about an hour and a half to 2.5 hours about them telling me their story in toy collecting, and it's usually really, really fun and all that good stuff. But yeah, geekcastradio.com, check it out.
All right, my plugs. You can find this podcast at anothercomicreview.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. Oh, you can also find the podcast on Instagram at another comic review. Hey, you can find me on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse Early. All right, so until next time, this is Jesse saying so long.
Thank you for listening to The Pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network, which is featuring syndicated versions of another comic review. Catch you next time. Make your greatest game into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Scarlet, are you all right?
Duke, it's about time you guys showed up. A girl gets tired hanging around the house.